And welcome to Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching what the Bible tells us are the only ways that we should be handling money. We use these biblical principles in our 9-week small group Bible study, and the study is called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. We'll teach you how to save, how to invest. We'll show you how important giving is and work. But the biggie, too, is how to get out of debt. No matter how small, no matter how large your debt may be, you can accomplish one thing, and that's getting out of debt, then living a debt-free life. Click on to compasscatholic.org, go to Books and Studies, and take a look for yourself, Navigating Your Finances God's Way. My name is Steve Holbrook. Joining me today, the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. Now, today we're going to attempt to answer the question, what are you going to do with your 401k when you retire?
You know, when you're preparing for retirement, there's a whole bunch of financial implications that you need to think through. And one of the biggest ones is how you're going to pay for your monthly living expenses. In other words, how long will your retirement income and the income from your savings last? So what's the first thing we need to do here, John?
You need to dust off your budget that you've been building over the last 2 or 3 years. If you don't have a budget, well, shame on you. There's a great verse from Luke, which of you wishing to construct a tower does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there's enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlooker should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build but did not have the resources to finish." That's no way to begin your retirement.
So if you don't have a budget, then here's how you build one.
Yes, absolutely. You got to download your bank statements for the last 3 months and put each and every expense into a category. And then when you finish your bank statements, download your credit card statements for the past 3 months and do the exact same thing. Add them in with the expenses that were on your bank statement. This is going to give you the basics of a budget, but it leaves out one really important thing, and that's cash spending. Cash is a leaky faucet for any budget. You must track and categorize all of your cash spending, or you're never going to be able to balance your budget.
Now you're talking to people who have not been tracking their spending for the last 10 years.
I'm assuming.
Or ever.
Forever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so when you talk about the last 3 months, These are people who budget. What do you mean budget? Okay, got it.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, most people don't have a budget, but you need one absolutely when you're getting ready to retire, because as you're going to see as we go forward, there just isn't any more money than what you've already got.
So that three-month window of what your spending was gives you a good starting point for building a budget. And that way, you'll know exactly what your monthly and yearly living expenses will be.
Right.
But what that doesn't count is anything that may come up once a year, like vacations or Christmas or taxes that you pay once a year. So you really need to bake those into the budget, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then you need to analyze that budget spending plan to eliminate spending that's going to stop when you aren't working. And trust me, as somebody who's gone through it, there isn't as much that stops as there is that starts because you're not working anymore. You may want to travel when you retire. And, you know, how much money are you going to devote to travel during the course of a year? Now, you don't have gas and oil and all those tolls and parking fees that you might have had driving back and forth to work, but is that going to offset your increased travel costs?
So it's decreased costs plus increased costs gives you the going forward picture.
What we found, and Steve, I think you probably found the same thing, the amount of money that we spend today is pretty much exactly the same as what we spent when we were still working.
Yes. And you know, it's funny, when you look at these retirement calculators, the default setting is 70%.
Yeah, that's a bunch
so
of hooey.
First thing, if you're using a calculator, make that change.
Yeah.
Put 100%
in there. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So we talked about where your spending's going, but where is your income coming from has to be considered in this whole bailiwick, too.
You're
right?
Absolutely correct, Evelyn. Where is your income going to come from? Social Security, if you have qualified for that, maybe you've got a 401k or an IRA or a pension. You have to take a look and see how much money am I going to get from each one of these. And then you have to analyze your consistent spending against that consistent income. And let's just do an example. If your monthly budget, your spending budget, is going to be $3,700 per month, and you're going to get $2,700 from Social Security, that means you're $1,000 short on a monthly basis. So where is that money going to come from? Is it going to come from a pension or an annuity? Maybe, maybe not. If you don't have a pension or annuity, then you're going to have to withdraw it from your savings. And that would be an IRA or a 401 or your investments. And if you only have, in this example, a savings that's worth $36,000, that means that you've got 36 months at $1,000 a month to meet your budget.
So if you're in that position, you're in trouble after 3 years. You're not going to have enough income to meet your living expenses.
Your budget is going to be only 70, your income is only going to meet 73% of your budget after 3 years. And you're going to have to find some more income, or you're going to have to cut your budget.
There's only two ways to do it, more money or less spending, right?
Absolutely.
You know, for the people listening, you use the example of a savings of $36,000. You're not exaggerating, because we've run into couples that were in that window to retire who probably didn't have much more than that. I don't know what they were thinking when they said, we're going to retire.
The average amount that a typical person has saved who's getting ready to retire within 5 years or so is just shy of $60,000.
Wow.
So that's 5 years.
That's five years.
At $1,000 a month.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got some wiggle room.
It's not good. There's been a survey, and 81% of those people surveyed said that their workplace retirement savings would be used as income during retirement. Well, that makes sense. You know, that's kind of what it's there for in the first place. And it's important then to understand how you're going to spend that money and where it falls in your income expense ratios. 30% of the people who are planning to retire have no idea what they're going to do with their money in their 401k plan.
Wait. Now, what do you mean they have no idea? Aren't they just going to withdraw it at a certain time? I mean,
they have never thought about it, basically, is what they've said.
All right.
25% are going to keep the money in the 401k, and 30% are going to roll it into a nest egg or a personal IRA or something like that. These were the findings by the EBRI. That's I remember what it is now. It's Employee Benefit Research Institute. And they did this poll of just over 2,000 adults this past January. So if one-third of the people are going to move money out of their retirement plan from work, why? Well, for most of them, 30% of them said, well, a financial advisor told me I should do that.
So this would be a financial advisor that's selling them other products.
Obviously.
Obviously, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. The money that's held in a 401k is protected by the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, or ERISA, E-R-I-S-A. That's a federal law that requires individuals who manage the plan to act as fiduciary. Now, a fiduciary, that's an important word, because with that word brings a lot of regulations. And it says that you must be working in the best interest of the person who owns the money that you're managing. So it doesn't matter if you're a fiduciary for a whole company plan and you've got, you know, tons and tons of employees, or you're the fiduciary for one person. You still have to be operating with the best interest of that person. Otherwise, you know, there's consequences that you will suffer.
So if I'm looking for somebody to give me financial help, I would really want to make sure they're a fiduciary before I started dealing with them, correct?
That's correct. Just an investment advisor, if that's all their title is, they don't have a fiduciary responsibility. As bad as that sounds, you can't hold them accountable for the appropriateness of the investments they recommend to you.
Okay. So we were talking earlier about the 401k savings being protected from creditors. How does that work?
That's the way the law is. So if you leave your money in a 401k and you have to declare bankruptcy for whatever reason, the creditors cannot access your money in your 401k.
But if
it's protected.
Okay, but if I follow the advice of somebody who's giving me advice not in my best interest and they sell me a product just because they make a commission on it, then my money's at risk if I declare bankruptcy, if I move it into something else.
Depending on where you move it and you know how it's titled and those kinds of things, you could lose that money if you declare bankruptcy.
So it's really important to understand what you're doing and all the ins and outs. And
absolutely, absolutely. And with an IRA, there's no requirement that investment advisors operate in your best interest. Isn't that strange?
I was going to say, hopefully they'll change that.
Well, the laws are changing, and they made them much stricter. And then our government, in its maybe not wisest moment, is trying to get those laws revoked, which would make it put the investment advisor as a fiduciary. You know, it's up to you really to know if the investment that's being recommended to you is a good one or not. Is it appropriate? Are the products costly or not? Are they being is this being recommended to me just so the person who's selling it to me can make a higher commission? Knowing that if it's an IRA, it's not necessarily, depending on which state you live in, protected from your creditors. So there is a sense of risk there that you need to be aware of as you move forward.
There were many excellent points made. No, if you're within 5 years of retirement, these are some of the items to be checking on. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries, and we have an excellent book available for free. Yes, I said free. It's called Your Money Counts. It will lay out these biblical principles that we've discussed in our small group Bible study. Simply go to compasscatholic.org, click on Books and Studies, and then you can download your free copy of Your Money Counts. That's right. The download is absolutely free. Today, we are discussing what to do with your 401k when you retire. Evelyn, let's spend a few minutes on risk.
Before the break, we were talking about withdrawing money from your 401k and how protected it was. So there's a big risk factor that you really need to consider if you're taking money out of your 401k, correct?
Yeah, and we've kind of talked about risk to some extent. Scripture warns against making risky investments. So if you're moving money from your 401k into some other type of investment, you really need to be concerned about the risk. You know, there's a lot of stories about people who lost their life savings through some kind of scam or bad investment, or because their appetite for gain was much more than the risk that was associated with it, or the risk was bigger than their appetite, and you know they lost money, so you've got to be concerned about it, and you got to understand what your tolerance for risk is. You know, are you okay if your investment loses some money as long as that rebounds and then gains again, or are you going to go all to pieces the first time you know you lose $100 in your investment? If you would feel better if your investment didn't lose any money but wouldn't grow very fast, so that tells you that you should be investing in things that don't have a risk. Now, they're not, like I said, they're not going to gain very much, but so you got to know about your risk. And the other thing about risk is you need to diversify your investments: stocks, bonds, real estate, gold. Mutual funds are a great way to diversify. Ecclesiastes 11:12 says, make 7 or 8 portions. You know not what misfortune may come upon the earth. You need to count the cost. You know what I mean by that, Evelyn?
I do. You know, every investment has some type of cost, whether it's financial cost, worry, the time you're going to spend taking care of it, how much effort you need, like a house, if you have an investment that's a house that you're renting out.
So a rental property, yeah.
That's a
yeah.
lot of time and cost, and maybe emotional pressure if your renters don't take good care of your property.
Yes.
So you really need to understand what the cost is of your investments. Is it just trusting somebody, or is it really going to take a lot of your time and energy?
You know, we had an opportunity to have rental property because we had a second house that we owned, and we had a great renter in there for 3 or 4 years. But when that renter left, it happened to be our son, but when he moved out and bought his own house, we didn't really want to go through the potential for lost revenue because we didn't have it rented or because somebody would come in and not take care of it. They wouldn't be good stewards of this property.
And we certainly didn't want the calls at 4 a.m. when the child threw the toilet paper roll down the toilet. And so we just made a conscious decision that kind of an emotional and time cost was not appropriate for us.
Exactly.
And it has worked out well.
Yes, it did. It did. There's a Lord's timing is involved in everything, whether it's the acquisition of an investment or the sale of investment. You know, it's an important thing. And as Ecclesiastes 3:1 tells us, there's an appointed time for everything and a time for every affair under the heavens.
You know, and I think that's one of the places where a lot of people miss a piece of what we should be doing as Catholics, which is praying about these financial matters and these big decisions we're making. A lot of people just rely on what they're reading in the paper or the magazines or the internet articles they read or the financial advisors they deal with, but they don't turn to the Lord for advice. And we have found through trial and error that praying about those sorts of decisions helps us make better decisions because it gives us a chance to slow down and really, really think things through.
I absolutely agree, Evelyn. And, you know, the other thing that really catches people is impatience.
You know, somebody in this room never is impatient, right? Not saying who.
So, don't look at me.
I didn't point any fingers.
You're talking to me.
I think I'm talking to all three of us, actually. We're all impatient at some point, right?
Are we almost done?
We should be steady plodders. Proverbs 21:5 tells us, "The plans of the diligent are sure of profit, but all rash haste leads certainly to poverty." So if you are a steady plodder, you know, if you could picture a person who is a steady plodder filling up a barrel of rice, one cup at a time.
Just a little bit every time.
A little bit. That's steady plodding.
And that's often where we went into trouble when we're looking at those investments that we want to make a quick killing. We want the return right away, the big return. If it's too good to be true, it's not true.
So another thing, if you're moving your money out of your 401k, then you need to be concerned about the different funds and the fees that they charge. So, you know, if you're thinking about the difference between a 401k and an IRA, the one thing about an IRA is that you will have access to a much larger range of opportunities to invest. Whereas with a 401k, your employer is selecting the range of opportunities, and it's probably limited to about 20. Not that that's probably not enough. You should be able to find anything you want within those 20 different options. And then finally, expenses are worth considering when you decide what you want to do with your savings. Every investment opportunity charges for the privilege of using your money the way they see fit.
But that's how they make their money, so that makes sense.
Yeah, and even if you're using a financial advisor and he's doing everything for you, they're going to charge about 1% of your total asset value to manage the money. And a mutual fund's not that much different. But some plans charge a little bit more than others. And it could go as high as 1.95%. Now, if you have a choice of 1% or 1.95, it doesn't sound like it's a whole lot of difference. But the more money you have and the more time you have that money invested, the more money that's going to be coming out of your pocket. And that can be an important thing.
So the best thing is to start planning for your retirement the first day you start working, correct? I mean, you need to start investing when you...
I wouldn't tell my boss that, but...
Well, if you were smart, you would do it, whether or not your boss knew you were going to do it.
I remember one time my boss says, well, what job would you like to have next?
And you said his.
I said his, and he didn't like it very much.
But you should have couched that in the terms of, I'll take your job when you get promoted. See, you
gotta. I'm not that cool, Evelyn.
Or you could have said, you should see the party I'm planning for you.
But you really need to start investing as soon as possible for your retirement and then make wise decisions as you're getting closer and closer to retirement, knowing all the money that you're spending and what's coming in and really looking at it from an analytical standpoint.
Yeah, you need to research all of your options and understand what the distribution choices that you're going to have available to you. And trust me, if you are working for a company for a long period of time, and I know that doesn't happen too much anymore, companies change the way they handle retirements all the time. So you got to stay up to date on that stuff. So you got to know your options. But generally, you know, if you're looking at it from a high point of view, you're going to have four choices. You can leave your money in your plan and take installments from the plan. You can roll your money into an IRA. You can take a lump sum. So those are the four. You leave it and don't touch it. You leave it and take installments. You roll it to an IRA or something else, or you just take it all out.
Even if you have a 401k, don't you have to take out a certain amount of money at a certain point in time? Isn't there a required minimum distribution on a 401k?
That's 70.
Yeah, at 70 and a half. At 70 and a half, everyone in a qualified plan is required to take required minimum distribution, RMDs.
So let me throw this out to you. If you are, you're going to retire, let's say in a year, but you're satisfied with your 401k and where it's invested because you have some input into this with your employer, what's the down, why take it out if you're happy with the return? And I know my risk level now, and I'm just, why take it out and give it to someone else to manage?
I really don't think that there's any need to do that. Where you might want to be concerned is if your 401k is heavily invested in company stock.
Okay.
All right. That would be a huge warning flag for me. Or if you didn't have a 401k, but the company had a pension to which you had vested rights, and the company was in control of that pension, to me, that's another warning flag. You know, we've got personal experience with a member of our family who lost all his pension because he left it with the company. He didn't move it out, and the company then later on went bankrupt, and he ended up with no money whatsoever. Okay. For retirement. So those are the things, you know, if you're heavily invested in your own company, in your retirement plan, you might want to consider moving that into something that's a little less risky.
Now, I think this is a great topic that you and Evelyn have selected, and you don't do it the last day of work. What am I going to do with my 401k? This is something you should research and talk to a counselor at least a year.
Oh, at least.
Oh, yeah, maybe more than that. Yeah. You know, I would be really looking at it beginning maybe four or five years.
I would say 5 years ahead of time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the things people miss when they're preparing for retirement is aggressively paying off their debt so they don't have all that debt payment when they're retiring, whether it's car payments or credit cards or consumer loans or home equity lines of credit or whatever. Getting that debt paid off when you retire, before you retire, is a great blessing because you're living on a fixed income. There's no more money coming in.
Right. You're definitely on a fixed income.
Getting rid of that debt is a good idea.
So, and then, you know, as we talked about in the beginning, you got to know what your expenses are. You know, make sure you've got that budget. You've gone through it with a fine-tooth comb. You are happy with where you're going to be spending your money. You've got an emergency fund. One of the most important things about being on a fixed income and requiring money each month out of your savings or investment is that your emergency fund probably needs to be a lot larger than at any other time in your work history. We have an emergency fund right now that's worth 2 years of cash. It's not earning a whole lot of money. You know, growth, it's not there so much, just a little bit. But, you know, if something terrible happens in the market and everything kind of implodes, we still have 2 years where we don't have to sell something at a greatly reduced value in order to be able to live the next month. And I think that's really important. So you got to know where your expenses are. Have an emergency fund.
Have that budget. And remember, it's not about the money.
It's about the change of your heart.
If you have the word retirement on your brain, no matter your age, we have 5 different free retirement calculators available at compasscatholic.org. On the homepage, the navigation bar, just click on resources and you'll see calculators. We have a calculator there that will give you an idea of where you need to be financially come the day that you retired. There's also one called the planner, one that is titled, How Long Will My Retirement Money Last? That's a key one. You could also include or not include Social Security in your calculations. No matter which one, just check out any one or all 5 of the retirement calculators. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We have highlights available in note form, compasscatholic.org. Just scroll down to podcast summary. And a reminder, we post a brand new podcast each and every Wednesday morning. Thanks so much for listening. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. And again, our ministry is Compass Catholic Ministries.